So I was blessed in high school to have two youth pastors that really instilled a lot of things into my life. When I was a junior in high school, I had a youth pastor that would constantly bug me, constantly invite me to things. And I'll tell you, one of the times that radically changed my life was I played soccer for our local high school, and I was, before our game, I went over to the bathroom, which was behind our concession stand, and I looked in and I saw my youth pastor working the concession stand. And I remember looking and going, why is he serving hot dogs right now? Like, what is happening right now? And I realized he was there to reach me. I realized he was on my campus so that I would not just come to church, but I would be involved. It radically changed my life so much that he invited me to this all-nighter. And invited me to this all-nighter, I hesitantly went, mostly because my mom really wanted me. I grabbed two of my buddies and we went. And that was the night, that all-nighter, that I met my wife. And then I give my life to the Lord. And I remember my senior year, the beginning of my senior year, sitting in church. And I was pumped. And the youth pastor got up and he resigned our church. He was moving. And I remember tears just rolling down my eyes. And that day, they introduced someone who I already knew, who I was raised in church with, and he brought Rich and Laura in. And I remember that moment, the next 2 years, as they got to see the good side of Jamie, right? The saved side. They didn't get the rebellious, crazy side. They got the saved Jamie, and they instilled in me, and they pushed me to serve, and they pushed me to get involved in leading Sunday school and kids' ministry, and they constantly pushed, constantly shared things with me, mentoring me. In fact, in May of 2011, after coming off the mission field and going to our home church in Granite City and starting pastoring it, they invited me to come and to share about Life Community Church. And that day, they not only prayed for us, but they partnered with us financially as a church. That in our early stages as a church, a month in, there's a church in Granite City said, we believe in what you're doing in Columbia. And they gave the first year of our existence. And so as they're transitioning from where they currently are in the United States to a country that is unknown, a country that they know very little about. And even as we watch this video, like it's almost like we're going, this is so extreme, so radical, what God has called you to do. But can I say before you guys come up, like I am blown away, thankful, fascinated by the fact that what God has asked you to do, you're saying yes to. And I am so grateful that you mentored, that you took a tough kid that had given his life to Jesus, and you instilled things in me. And so when I left and went to Bible college, they actually left with me. And we went to the same city, and they went to AGTS. And so it's such an honor for me. Now, this past week, there's been 19 couples, 38 people on a cruise, and I still feel like I'm on the ship a little bit. I'm like, anybody else? Yep, that yes, Lord. Yep. Oh, look, some of the cruise people are even here. That's how you know you're saved, right? You come back from a cruise, and sorry if you're watching online and sleeping off the cruise, and so back in October when we talked about this marriage cruise and talked about getting away as married couples, I said, Rich, I need you to come on March 1st and just share what God's doing in you and Laura's life, and because I don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in coming back from this cruise. So I'm just tan, tired, and swaying a little bit. And so I'm so happy that my youth pastors are here this morning, Rich and Laura Smalley. Would you guys come? Would you welcome them as they come? We do have to talk about the origin of your family name. I don't know the history, so
I don't know what it is.
Oh,
either.
Okay, all right, all right.
We're just a bunch of short people.
Okay, all right, all right, all right. Well, I didn't want to make it awkward, but well, I thought some people were wondering, you know.
I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Wow. Well, wait till you see our family picture. Go ahead and put that up there. Obviously, I'm not really taller than Laura.
Also advertising.
There's a little doorway there that I was able to stand in, but anyway. That's another story. We are headed to Tajikistan. It's a country just north of Afghanistan, south of Kyrgyzstan, with China to the east. Obviously, my name's Rich. This is Laura, and I'm going to let her introduce our family real quick.
So the photo that you saw, Elisa is obviously not in the building. She, at 18, decided that she wanted to do her own missions thing. So she is in Vietnam as we speak, working at a coffee shop, speaking English and telling people about Jesus who've never heard about Jesus. So it's kind of a crazy thing. So if you can keep her in prayer, we would appreciate that. The 14-year-old is in the house. Scotty is the tall smallie. As a freshman, he's about my height.
Stand up so everybody can see how tall you are. We're proud of this.
He's only a freshman, so he's got room to grow, too. So he gets to be the tall smallie, which is what Rich has always prayed for. So Elisa didn't make it. She's like 5'1", so she didn't happen.
She fits in Vietnam.
She does fit in Vietnam. There's actually pictures where she's short in Vietnam. So Rich, Scotty, and I are headed to Tajikistan. We hope to be there in about 10 months. There is a Live Dead team there that we go to join to work with. And we go to provide access. We provide access to the gospel to people who've never heard who Jesus is as their Savior and Lord. So as we go to join this team, we are going to build the church where there is no church. And by doing that, we are basically trying to establish a church planting network. So we go to train, but we also go to plant the church where there is no church.
In Central Eurasia, where we're going, there are 9 countries right there in the middle. For short version of this is, it's where all the stands are at. Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, you'll go through, and there's a whole bunch of them right in there, and then you include Turkey in that. And in those 9 countries, there are 728 unreached people groups. That's the people that they're talking about. We're going to go to this little country called Tajikistan, and where there's 99.6% of the people are Sunni Muslim, and there's 1,200 Christians in a country of about 10 million, maybe a little less than that.
So the country of Tajikistan has been around since 1991 because it used to be part of the USSR. So not only do they have that influence of the USSR, the 99.6% Sunni Muslim, because it's a newer country, there's a whole lot of corruption in the government. So as you can pray, especially this month, there are elections taking place, so pray for them. But here's what you need to know, because a lot of times we're scared about these places because we don't know anything about them. So our team leader who is there, this is what he has to say. Tajik people are warm and generous. Despite their poverty, they love to entertain, sing, dance, and will welcome you in with sincere smiles. When presented with the gospel, their initial response, especially if they're devout males, is immediate rejection. But once relationships are established, they're happy and willing to discuss spiritual matters. Life and ministry in Tajikistan are as hard as the mountains that dominate 98% of the landscape, and just as beautiful. So if you can pray with us as we go, we need your help. And here's how you can do that.
So there's a couple of ways you can join us. The number that we're going to put on the screen here, that's a number you can text right now. So if you got your phone, you want to grab that, you can. And you can text the word pray to that number, and it'll kick back to you an opportunity to fill out information so I know who I'm communicating with. But our intent is we will keep this running no matter where we are. It's app-driven so that I can get your text anytime, anywhere, as long as I've got an internet connection. Obviously, the other opportunity is if you wanted to join us, you want to partner with us on a monthly basis, or you just want to give one time, you can do that by texting the word give, and then you can follow the links there, and they'll give you the opportunity to give. The main thing you need to understand here is this, when it comes to our journey to Tajikistan, is that we're not going to plant a church. We're going to plant the church. The intent of our team and the people that are working in these parts of the world, look, we could never effectively have a Tajik church. We're Americans, but we can influence people. And we can build relationships. And it's going to be one-to-one. There isn't going to be any big global activity like this where we're all gathered together and sing a lot of songs and make a lot of noise. It's going to be on the down low. It's going to be quiet. It's going to be relational, step by step. But in the end, the people who can really reach the Tajik people are Tajiks themselves. So we've got the idea of, from Live Dead, abide, apostle, abandon. Abide, we're going to go with a team of people, and we're going to work really hard together, we're going to live together, and we're going to hold each other accountable with the gospel. make sure that we're in the Word and we know Jesus. We're going to apostle in the sense that we're going to plant the church, get it established, and let the people run the church. We move on and we do it again, again and again and again. And then abandon simply means this: we're going to the tough places. We're going to those places where not everybody wants to go, where it's not easy. You know, where my team leader tells me first thing out, don't open your mouth when you shower, those kind of things, you know. Do you get what that means? In other words, the water's has parasites and things like that in it, so that when you take a shower, you keep your mouth closed. Yeah, doesn't that excite you? I knew you'd be excited about that. Hey, let's jump into the Word for a minute here. I love blessing people, and so I love what Pastor Jamie's already done this morning with Christine and Nick. That's a beautiful picture, actually, of what I want to share with you in just a few minutes and just talk to you about what it is to chase God's dream for your life. Because I didn't get the whole story, but based on what Jamie has said, what I listened to and what you heard up here on the platform is Nick and Christine are going after that big dream that God has for them. And all along the way, it's a step-by-step process. It is that, but it is that process of surrendering to God completely and wholly, being wholly yielded to God in your life. That's how we see God's great dream for our lives. I love this quote by Rick Warren. It says, "I've come to the conclusion there is no such thing as great people. There are only ordinary people committed to great dreams. When you commit yourself to a great dream, it draws something out of you and helps you become larger than you would become any other way." That is the heartbeat of God, is that you individually could become something greater than you are, better than you could ever be on your own, is that you would connect with God. That the way to be great, really, is what he's saying here, at least in my mind. The way to be great is to connect ourselves to God's great dream for your life. And I want you to know that God's great dream for your life, it's individual, it's personalized, it's positive, it's good, it's something you want, it's something you should chase after. It's not just something that pastors talk about, that preachers talk about, but it is something that God, listen, Jeremiah 29:11, what does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. God's got good plans for you. He's got good intent for your life. So if you want God's great dream, if you want to be great in this world, truly great, you got to chase after God's dream. But how does that happen? Is it easy? Is it simple? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that it is simple for you to find God's great dream for your life. Aren't you glad? And it's a great discovery this morning. It's easy to find God's great dream for your life. Okay, three of you are happy. I'm glad for that. Here's a quote from Andrew Murray, a great pastor. He says, "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him." This is how we gain access to God's great dream for our lives. It seems like a simple thing that if you and I will wholly and completely surrender to God, then we can find God's great dream for our lives. Now, I understand that in principle, that is a simple idea. But it's not always a practical idea. It's not always an easy idea to see fulfilled in our lives and to make happen, right? I mean, how many of you are distracted by the world at times or things around you? You get committed to things that you start in, you think it's okay, and the next thing you know, you're in the middle of something and it's just too much and you feel like the world is just squeezing in around you. I mean, we've all had that feeling. I think this is what Romans chapter 12 is talking about. And I'll read it to you real quickly. "Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect." You know, it's that don't conform to the world. Don't let your... I think that's the thing that keeps us from wholly yielding to God. Wouldn't you agree? Because there's a tendency in a... I don't know. Here, I'll tell you what I get distracted by. I get distracted by technology. You know, I've got an iPad. I've got an iPhone. I've got an iMac. I've got a MacBook. I've got a Mac Mini. I've got an Apple TV. I mean, I like tech stuff. So it is easy. There's nothing wrong with those things, right? I mean, all those things are pretty fun. I'm using an iPad right now to keep, I've got my notes all gathered together nice and neat. But the thing of it is, I could just be totally zoned in on, get on Amazon and order me something up, or get on Apple and order me something. I mean, it's really easy for me to get focused on those things because, man, I just get a charge out of that. But if we get distracted by those kinds of things, the standards of the world is this: get as much stuff as you can, or whoever dies with the most toys wins, right? Okay, I'm just seeing if you heard that part. I wasn't sure. There's a little bit of hesitation. But yeah, and so that's the standard of this world. So the thing that holds us back from fully achieving God's great dream for our lives is that we get distracted and we end up conforming ourselves to the pattern of this world. Sometimes they seem so insignificant and not a big deal, but next thing you know, we're so focused on this, we've missed what God has for us. And so what we really need to be focused upon is this, is that we would be wholly yielded to God, completely surrender to what His plan is for our lives. There's a guy in the Old Testament, Abraham, who's a great example of this, of wholly and completely surrendered to what God has had for him. In Genesis chapter 12, it tells the story of Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." Now think about this. The first time Abraham meets God, he's 75 years old. Midlife, right? And it's midlife then. It is, I promise. But this is the first time he meets God. He's had a lot of great times before he meets God, right? He's well respected in his community. He met his wife Sarah before he met God. Abraham, his name suggests that he's prominent in the pagan religion, so he's kind of a leader in pagan worship, and so he's got a good thing going here. And then there were probably some good times after Abram met God. He also had those important days, like many of them were recorded in the Bible. The day that he arrived in Canaan, after he said yes to God and traveled across the country and landed where God wanted to. The day that he met Melchizedek. If you don't know who Melchizedek is, you should look that up. It's fun to just say Melchizedek. If you've never said it before, you should really say Melchizedek. See, there it is. See, isn't that fun? Anyway, but that was a great day, and there's some reasons why that we can't go into. That's another whole sermon. The days that he had encounters with God that were uniquely his. So these are great days. The day that Rebekah arrived, and the day that his son Isaac was born, the day that Sarah went to heaven, the day that he went to heaven himself. These are all great days. Abraham was a great days. But it was the day when he first met God that made all the difference in the world. So my question would be for you this morning is, have you met God? If you want that great dream for your life, where this great dream for Abram's life begins is when he meets God. So have you met God? If you've engaged with him, then the next step is this. God has something great for you, that great dream that plans to prosper you and to grow you and help you be who he's called you to be. You see, it was God who came to Abram, the pagan. There's a whole lot here. Think about that. Abram doesn't know God. He's not paying any attention to God. And God comes to him. I know sometimes people say, I found God. I remember the day I found God. I understand the sentiment, but let me tell you something. God found you. And you are saved and redeemed, and you are brought into his kingdom because he found you. That's a pretty awesome picture, isn't it? That Abram went, that God went and he found Abram, and an even better picture is this: Abram said yes. God said, "Hey, I know we just met, but can you just leave everything that you know, all of your prestige and your community and everything, and go to this land really far away, and I'm going to bless the world through you." You're like, how does it happen? How is the world going to be blessed through Abram? Well, here's the cool thing about this. That last verse that said in verse 3 that we read says the whole world will be blessed through you. Everything else that follows that verse right there, everything in the Old Testament, including the coming of Christ, the establishment of the church, and the promise of Christ's return in the book of Revelation, all of it flows from this great dream that God gave Abram. See, because if you skip and you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "This is the genealogy of Jesus, Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham." Process that. This is the most important thing that you'll get this morning, I promise. If Abram is not obedient, if Abram doesn't go, and he doesn't accept the challenge that God gave to him in that moment and go out and be the man that he was called to be, there is no Jesus for us to know. Now, I'm with you. I'm sure you're all thinking, well, God could have done it another way. Okay, I get that. But I'm just telling you right now, Abram didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what it was going to look like. You and I can look back and know. And we know that because Abram said yes, we have Jesus today, and you and I are saved, and we are restored in relationship with God because of what Abram did. That's an awesome thing. We can see all that. He couldn't see that. He couldn't see what was coming. He just said yes. So 4,000 years before, he says yes. And the generations are blessed. You and I are blessed because Abram said yes. He responded to the go that God had for him. Look, my go is Tajikistan this morning. And because I go, I pray that the generations that come behind me, should the Lord allow us to hang around here any longer, I don't know, he may return tomorrow. But if he lets us hang around, then I pray that the generations to come would be blessed because I said yes, because I went. Okay? I'm going to bring it back home here. What about you? What's your go? What's the go in your life where God is calling you to respond to, and he wants you to step out in faith and to say, God, I will do. And what of the generations will be blessed because you said yes to the God's go for your life? Because you latched on to that great dream that he has for you. So what great dream has God planted in you? I'll give you this. Philippians 1:6 says this: "Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God wants to finish what he started in your life. I think in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, and I'll close with this. "By faith, Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." So even though you don't know all of what's going to happen, Christine and Nick, I don't know if you're in the room still, but your go, your willingness to go, who knows what will happen because you said yes, because you went, because I went, because you went. You see, that's the key here. Does that mean it's all going to be easy? It's all going to be just as easy as it could be? No, there's going to be moments when you're going to say, I don't really want to do this. Because what God asks you to do sometimes is hard. But I promise if you do what Abraham did, that even though he wondered, well, God, did you really tell me to do this? He still went. And when he got mad at God and said, God, this really stinks right now. I don't like this very much. He still went. So will you go? Now, your go is right here. It may be right here in Columbia. I'm glad for that. Your go actually may be you want to go with us. And that's okay, too. We'll take you. Our team needs more. But my challenge to you is this: will you respond to God's go for your life this morning? Can I pray for you? Father, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit that you would continue to minister to the mind and help us to respond to what you have for us. God, that we would not be held back by fear, but that we would each one respond to the go that you have for us, that we would say yes like Abraham, and that we would go in spite of the obstacles that pop up in our way. Again, I say, Lord, help us not to be trapped by fear. Help us not to conform to the standards of this world. But let us be renewed in our minds and purpose. And let us find true greatness in this life by pursuing the great dream that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. If you're looking for confirmation today, over the last 6 weeks, we've talked 3 specific times about being obedient. And I think there's a place where we come, where we go, God, we want your blessing. God, we want you to bless. We want you to agree with. We want you to hear our prayers. And the blessing is in the obedience.
Amen.
The blessing is in saying yes to what God asks you to do. The beauty for me is God isn't calling every single one of you to Tajikistan or any stand. How about that? He's not calling you specifically maybe to Turkey. Maybe it's not to, we don't need 500 people at Rural Family Kids. We don't need 500 people to go to a Native reservation or to live in Colombia. Your go could be completely different. And I would say this, make your go whatever it is today. Stop fretting or worrying about what tomorrow may bring. Deal with what you have right now. Be faithful where you are right now. And right now you have a job that you may not like, but be faithful in that job right now because that is your go. And until you continue to be obedient in that go, God probably won't open any other doors. And I'll say this, he might open, there might be doors that open, but I would probably say they're the wrong door. Because your faithfulness where you are right now matters. I've never complained my way out of a situation and it turned out good. But I have been faithful in the hard times and received the blessing. This passage in Proverbs says this, the Lord directs our steps. Then he asks this question, so why try to understand everything along the way? The Lord is directing your steps. So why are you trying to figure this thing out? When I try to figure it out, I get in the way. I'm in the way. When I get in the way, it's not good. I'm trying to figure out and compartmentalize and all these things. And God goes, hey, you, get out of the way. Just do what I say. Acts chapter 20, what we read last week is, and Paul went to Jerusalem not knowing what was about to happen. This is all obedience, you guys. So here's what I know that we can do today. First and foremost, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask Rich and Laura to come back on the stage and bring Scotty as well. We're going to pray. Okay, we're going to do that. And then I'm going to ask you, maybe you can give. And here's what I know. I know that there's budgets. I know that there's ways of helping. And maybe you're in this room that you say, you know what, we can help. Okay, so the ushers are going to come, and when we pray, they're going to pass hands. Maybe you're in this room, and you just say, you know what, we want to help. Maybe it's monthly. Maybe it's you going in the back, and you just taking their cards, and you're praying the rest of the day. And maybe in 6 months, a month, a year, God puts Rich and Laura back on your heart, and that's when you give. Okay? I'm letting God work that out. I'm not asking you except for you to pray and ask, what is the Lord asking you to do today? Okay? But I'm asking all of us to pray, because all of us in this room, as far as I can tell, have breath in your lungs. All of us can pray, okay? So let's do that right now. If you don't mind stretching your hands towards them, God, thank you, first and foremost, for Rich and Laura and the influence, the generations that have been impacted. God, I'm in ministry today because a couple saw something in me when nobody else did. When I was a problem to others, they took me in. When I was annoying to others, they stayed the course. And God, we're here today because of that. We're here today because someone took the time, and I am so grateful for that. And God, I thank you for the generations to come that because they say yes to this country, to this people group, to these people groups, because they say yes, there are generations that are going to be transformed because of what the gospel does. It breaks curses. It breaks what families used to be to how God, you intended them to be. It brings life into dead things. into dead families, into dead traditions. It brings life. And so, God, I'm so grateful because their feet is stepping onto that soil and the gospel is coming out because they've said yes. God, there are going to be generations that are radically changed because of Jesus. I pray you bless them. I pray you open doors. I pray in the name of Jesus that finances are never an issue. God, you open those doors. You transition. You help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you don't mind, if you're writing a check, you make it to Life Community Church. We're going to give one check to them. I want us to pray also. You can stand. We're going to sing this song together. But if you're in this room and you just say, hey, listen, I'm trying to figure out my go. I'm trying to figure out what it is that God's called me to be, to do. I encourage you, even as Christine was praying today, even as you were putting your hand on your heart, I know first service we have people praying that have gotten some bad doctor's news. We have people in our church that have been diagnosed with cancer, lost loved ones. They're going through a horrific time. And I recognize you guys. Here's the promise of the Lord. Hear this. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will always be by your side. He will always walk with you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. I don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. You can go where you're going. Because God said to go, you said yes, you don't have to fear. He is with you. Whatever it is that you're facing, the doctor may have said this, but I know what the Lord says. He's not just a waymaker song. He is who he says he is. So if you need healing in this room, if you need restoration in this room, this is a moment where we are praying for one another, okay? So don't rush out. Your kids are fine. They're fine, okay? They're fine, okay? Baptist Church right are at the buffet right now. They're at the restaurants right now. Let's give them 15, 20 more minutes and we can get in there, all right? They're fine. You're fine. Don't rush away from what God wants to do in your heart today. Amen?